On Sunday, I received an email from a man named Bruno who listens to my podcast in Alberta. He wrote, quote, "Thank you for your engaging podcast episode. Hey, my eyes are up here. Your reflections on the remarkable qualities of birds and their natural acceptance of individuality offer a compelling contrast to human behavior. Having listened to your podcast for several years now, I deeply appreciate your celebration of the unadulterated beauty of the natural world. However, I am concerned about the albeit brief promotion of pronouns as a means of defining identity, as it often aligns with gender ideology that I believe undermines biological reality and civil society. Your podcast focuses on birds, which recognize each other as individuals without the need for constructed social markers like pronouns. From a non-genderist perspective, emphasizing pronouns in any context risks reinforcing a framework that prioritizes subjective identity over objective sex-based differences, which can erode protections for women and girls and dismiss the material realities of biological sex. I worry this trend could lead to further confusion and division in society, particularly when it comes to single-sex spaces, fair treatment, and the treatment of vulnerable youth and adults." Bruno continued, "I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts on how the natural world, like the birds you so eloquently describe, might inform a perspective grounded in biological truth rather than subcultural constructs." End quote. My reference to pronouns in that episode was, except during mating, the sex of most birds doesn't matter to them anyway. They'd be perfectly content using they and them as their pronouns. I stand by that. We don't understand bird language, much less its grammatical structure, so my use of the word pronoun is a stretch. But the biological truth is that during most of the year, for most of the species I watch, one another's genders are completely irrelevant in their behaviors, interactions, and how they treat one another. The concept of single-sex spaces is pretty limited in the world of birds. One rare exception that I'm familiar with is the wild turkey. In winter, the large aggressive adult males stay together while the smaller females stay with the young of the year in their own flocks. As young males grow large, they leave to join the adult males. Unlike mammals, birds do not have XX or XY chromosomes. Birds who produce sperm have ZZ chromosomes, and those who produce eggs have ZW chromosomes. Almost all female birds have a single functional ovary on the left side, the right one shrinking during embryonic development, probably to reduce weight for flight. And females ovulate only during their nesting season. For a good 8 or 9 months each year, female birds of most northern hemisphere species are not at all concerned with sex or gender. The same is true of most male birds. Their two testes shrink after the breeding season, remaining small and producing very little testosterone through most of the year. Some species, especially those who pair for life and share nesting responsibilities fairly equally, show little or no discernible sexual dimorphism, and in many of the species in which males do look very different from females during the breeding season, the males molt into more female-like plumage as soon as nesting is done. Again, outside the nesting season, the sex of birds is pretty much irrelevant in their day-to-day activities and interactions. Depending on the species, mate selection, not the act of mating, happens in fall, winter, or spring before the birds are physically capable of reproduction. In flocking species in which mated pairs remain together throughout the year, such as sandhill cranes, Canada geese, and chickadees, the only flock members who seem at all focused on gender are those still seeking a mate, and even those individuals are more immediately concerned with issues of day-to-day survival. Members of bird flocks cannot afford to judge or exclude flock members. They need each other to help them detect predators and find food. We learn as very small children that there are two sexes, but one of my favorite birds, the white-throated sparrow, throws that concept entirely out the window. Some experts say this species essentially has four sexes. White-throated sparrow plumage comes in two color forms. Some have dull tan head stripes and some bright white ones. Intuitively, we might think the males are the ones with the bolder white stripes, but nope. 50% of all males have tan stripes, and 50% of all females have white stripes. Yet a full 98% of all mated pairs have one tan and one white-striped member. Apparently, mate selection for white-throated sparrows involves choosing a bird of both the opposite chromosomal sex and the opposite head stripe color. After the breeding season is over, the birds spend fall, winter, and spring in sociable flocks where neither sex nor head stripe color seems to matter at all. During the nesting season, some species have strictly defined sex roles. One or the other may have the primary responsibility for claiming and defending the territory, nest building, incubating eggs, brooding nestlings, hunting for food, and feeding nestlings. But how pairs divvy this work varies widely among species. In many, the male and female share each or most of these roles equally. Regardless of whether sex roles are strictly defined or not, they're only pertinent during the nesting season, which again is just a fraction of most birds' annual cycles. Next time, I'll talk about some individual birds who do not fit into any male-female dichotomy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.